Hi, this is Ryan Hill from the Hirshhorn Museum, and I'm with Pablo Higuera, New York artist, here in front of the Peter Fischel and David Weiss work called The Way Things Go from 1987. We've chosen this piece to talk a little bit about with the artist, just to hear his perspective on it as part of the Artist Voices podcast.
I chose this piece by Fischel and Weiss, which is a piece that I had seen before, and it's telling that the gallery normally is heavily populated in front of this piece. It's a work that definitely mesmerizes, has a hypnotizing aspect to it, and I spent myself quite a long time yesterday looking at it. I think there's many things that I think about when I look at this work. One of them is my perspective as an artist myself, as to the making of the work. And something that bugs me or that obsesses me when I look at this piece is how it was made and the whole process by which these artists create this long series of events that are chained to each other. Uh-huh. To make it work, and it seems to me that the work is a lot about the magic of the making of it, of their own work. Mm-hmm. Through very simple connections simple physical events that uh-huh. that move one thing to the next.
So there's an aspect which is related to a work of performance here. We see the work making itself, but it continuously is doing something different. And I think when I've looked at this work, one thing I always have to tell people is that it's on a loop, because otherwise they'll just stay watching it over and over and over. They've dissolved them so perfectly, and it cuts in so perfectly into each other that people really never have an idea of when things are stopping or starting. Yeah,
exactly. And it reminds me to the drawings of Escher, you know, uh-huh. Marcus Kulliner's Escher, when you actually are trying to figure out where is the point where the stairs end, and then these are infinite drawings that have the trick of keeping the seamless infinity. Uh-huh. And you're always trying to figure out the way in which you try to look behind the scenes and you can't. And there's something about it. Yeah, as you say, the seamlessness, yeah, of the editing that gives you that impression.
And also, I think we all have this fascination with just, it gives us a chance, and it has a fascination with natural, like the way things behave, mm-hmm, in nature. And even though this is in a studio setting, they're still using things like fire and water and smoke and different kind of almost alchemical combinations of elements that kind of play off of each other in a domino effect. Mm-hmm. And I guess for me, when you watch it, is there a point where you do lose interest, or does it really sustain your interest throughout the entire duration?
I think it's a piece that pretty much sustains your interest for the entire duration, and I think the reason is that also, I will guess most people connect with the piece because it may remind you to your high school,
yeah,
physics class,
right,
or
right,
chemistry, where you do these,
right,
very simple experiments to prove like gravity or,
right,
or combustion,
yeah,
and through these very simple laws of nature, you,
right,
you create this piece. But you know, the other thing that interests me about this work is how, uh-huh, it really connects with the rest of the museum, you know, and the collection of the museum.
In what way?
Because it is about sculpture and, uh-huh, about sculpture in motion and the relationship between the object and in its cinematic form.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's like, it's actually like what you could see this piece as a connection of little sculptural happenings,
right?
You know,
yeah,
that take place. And
yeah,
when you look out at the collection in the galleries, mm-hmm, you know, you see a lot of works that are about movement,
mm-hmm,
you know, and but, yeah. but they're static.
Right.
And this is kind of like employing like a way of addressing the relationship between modern, I mean, maybe you can stretch that into the relationship between modern sculpture and the movement, you know, in this conceptual manner, you know.
And I think one thing is people who do performance often come up to the fact that they're creating experiences, and these experiences aren't something that you can sell like an object. This is this great marriage between things that are experiential, that we can actually see them move, but they're still, and they're tableaus that move, to things that all that work sculpturally in space.
Yeah.
But we have to imagine that we're in that space for that to be thought of as sculpture.
It's a video of a sculpture, you know?
Right.
But it is very contemporary that way.
Yeah.
And it does connect with works like maybe like Matthew Barney, for example, that is also like sculpture in motion in a performative way. You know?
Do you think Matthew Barney's work also has a lot of like storytelling aspects to it? Do you feel there's a story here when you're looking at this, or how do you relate
maybe
to
not in the not in the conventional way of the storytelling, but yeah, I think the mechanics of the piece, you know, they're kind of like the narrative, you know, like this is how it happens. And I think as people, we're always fascinated at how an artwork is made, and like I started saying,
right.
And it is very clear,
right.
It's very Brechtian in that sense, you know, it just shows you exactly how it happens,
right.
You know, but it is kind of like at the same time, it's magical. It just shows you how it is, but it's magical at the same time, like kind of mysterious.
And what is the mystery for you?
The mystery is, you know, how it's also, I mean, like, all these sudden like ignitions and connections.
Right.
I mean, they can go wrong so easily.
Right.
And again, it brings me back to like the moment of the making of the piece. You know, like, did they try a million times to do this?
Right.
You know, or how did they edit the piece in such a way that it will appear that it's just an endless, you know, interconnection of events. That's what makes the piece so strong.
And I think that I think people get hypnotized also, not just by watching it and seeing what happens next, but I also think because it really satisfies our need for cause and effect.
Yeah.
And for this idea that the meaning of it is just that these things, you know, affect each other, and that's all you really need to have for it to be meaningful.
Yeah. It is actually interesting that also to me that all these different connections, you know, these triggerings of events, they don't really lead you anywhere other than to a more triggering of effects.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of works that are about a similar structure, but they have an end product.
Right.
You know, like, and then I think there's a certain expectation while you watch this video that you're actually going to have an end piece or something is going to happen, and nothing really is happening.
There's never the end product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like endless those ex machina sort of like motions that I don't remember going anywhere particularly.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that there is this draw. It's like when you watch television, you keep on waiting for something interesting to happen, and with this, it's like you keep on waiting for some kind of end product, but really it just keeps making itself, becoming itself over and over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most popular pieces at the museum. And I think for those very reasons you've discussed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anything else that you'd like to say about it?
I think there's humor in it. I think there's playfulness, but there's very strong there's very precise calculation in the piece, and I think that is that's what makes it strong.
Uh-huh.
You know, that this combination of apparent opposites.
Uh-huh.
You know, that seem to, you know, like a maybe it's like a fictional narrative.
Right.
It's like telling you something, but it's not really telling to you. It's showing you everything, but it's not showing you everything. It makes it a very, very circular, very strong work.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.